from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 18 and 19. We'll be reciting text 18 together. Samaha Shatrau Cha Mitre Cha Tatamana Pamanayo Shitoshna Sukha Dukeshu Samasanga Vivarjita. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Purport: a devotee is always free from all bad association. Sometimes one is praised and sometimes one is defamed. That is the nature of human society. But a devotee is always transcendental to artificial fame and infamy, distress and pain, distress or happiness. He is very patient. He does not speak of anything but the topics about Krishna. Therefore he is called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak. Silent means that one should not speak nonsense. One should speak only of essentials, and the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak for the sake of the Supreme Lord. A devotee is happy in all conditions. Sometimes he may get very palatable foodstuffs, sometimes not, but he is satisfied. Nor does he care for any residential facility. He may sometimes live underneath a tree, and he may sometimes live in a very palatial building. He is attracted to neither. He is called fixed because he is fixed in his determination and knowledge. We may find some reputation in the description of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. Hara bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. One who is not a devotee has no good qualification. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them. Om Agnana. Translation once again. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. So, we are discussing from this 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Devotional Service. And Krishna, towards the end of this particular chapter, which we are right now discussing, he especially focuses on the good qualities that his devotee develops by the performance of devotional service. How his heart becomes transformed, how he becomes a better person. That is what Krishna discusses here. Now, the world we are living in right now, especially the time we are living in, this is called Kali Yuga, wherein we don't find many people exhibiting very good qualities. People are more selfish, more greedy. To sum it all, it is said in the scriptures that Kali Yuga is a time wherein there is extensive hypocrisy and quarrel. We see in the newspaper, this is what is given in the newspaper. Hypocrisy, quarrel. How people are fighting with each other. Amongst political parties. Terrorism is another kind of quarrel. Politics is another kind of quarrel. Politics is quarrel amongst political parties. Terrorism is a quarrel between one section of society against the whole society. It's all quarrel that we read about in the newspaper. And then there is hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is all pervading. People act in a certain way, but they are actually something else. So the scriptures predict this, that this is going to be the trend of society more and more as time progresses. Now many a times people feel that, you know, it's simply being spoken that this is Kali Yuga and this time period is labeled as Kali Yuga. But factually speaking, this concept of the four Yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga, is quite logical also. Because if we observe nature, nature operates in cycles, right? The sun rises in the morning, then it rises higher and higher, and then it sets after noon, and then it vanishes from our sight with the end of the day. So we know what to expect tomorrow morning. We expect what to expect at 8 o'clock in the morning. What will be the position of the sun? So it's a cyclic pattern. Day and night. It's a pattern. It's a cycle. Similarly, there is the seasons, the different seasons. Rainy season, summer season, winter season, autumn season. So we know when it is January, what will be the kind of weather we can expect. So January means it is going to be cold because it is winter. Or May, it is going to be scorching hot. It is not surprising. Because we know, because that is the pattern in which nature functions. It's a cycle. Movement of the sun goes by cycle. Change of the seasons goes by cycle. Even the movement of the moon operates in cycles. So in the Vedic calendar, there is Amavasya, Purnima in this way. Cycle. So similarly, the scriptures say that when it comes to consciousness of the society as a whole, the behavioral pattern of society, that also functions in cycles. Satya Yuga is a period in which people are very good. They have got saintly qualities. So then as Dwapara Yuga comes, saintliness decreases, vice increases in society. And vice increases all the more in Treta Yuga, and in Kali Yuga it's maximum. Just like seasonal variations. As we proceed from January to June, it becomes hotter and hotter. Right? It's a pattern. So similarly, when we take big chunk of time, when we speak of seasons, the chunk of time we are dealing with is 1 year maybe. But when we take a big chunk of time spanning over thousands of years and then we observe the pattern in nature, we'll observe this pattern in the pattern of society. That initially there is a period where people are very good and slowly, slowly their good qualities go on diminishing as time progresses. So when a student reads in a geography textbook that in May it is going to be summer and hot, and he actually sees that it is hot in summer in May, he is not surprised because it is seasonal changes. So similarly, a person who is conversant with the Vedas, when he reads in the Vedas what to expect in Kali Yuga, he is not surprised because it is like seasonal changes only. So the Vedas predict that in Kali Yuga, these symptoms can be observed. Memory is going to decrease, lifespan is going to reduce with the progress of Kali Yuga. People will develop bad habits. All these things already predicted in the scriptures, as much as seasonal variations are given in the geography textbook. So from a cosmic point of view, it is a matter of fact what to expect in Kali Yuga. It's a bad time where there is extensive quarrel and extensive hypocrisy. Now, when is there quarrel amongst individuals or amongst groups of individuals? When there is some selfish motivation, then there is quarrel, right? Why there is terrorism? Terrorism is there because one group of people, they feel that we want these things for ourselves. And because their demands are not met, in order to fulfill their demands, they sacrifice the lives of so many people. That is terrorism. Why is there dirty politics? Why? Because certain people who pose as leaders, they have got selfish motivations. Instead of trying to serve the society, instead of trying to uplift the society, they have got selfish motivations, their own selfish agenda. I want this, I want that. So there is quarrel amongst political parties also. So the basic root cause of quarrel is selfishness. And sometimes when a person acts as if he is selfless, many times it is detected to be hypocrisy. So a person is selfish, but he acts as if he is selfless. That is hypocrisy. He is not selfish, but he acts as if he is not selfless, but he acts as if he is selfless. So in this way, we understand that this quarrel and hypocrisy is observed because of this selfishness. So from this point of view, we can say that Kali Yuga, as Kali Yuga progresses, people become more and more selfish. For their own self-interest, they can do anything. They can go to any extent. Like few days ago, I got an email with photographs that in China, they serve in restaurants some kind of a soup. The soup which has fetus. Soup made of fetus. And the photographs show that the fetus is observed. The baby can be observed. The limbs of the baby can be observed. The head of the baby can be observed. The legs of the baby can be observed. And the baby is unborn baby. Aborted baby is floating in that liquid, and that is a soup, and it's quite popular in China, and they say that it increases vigor and the ability to have sex, and it's very popular. Now we see that, now it's like unimaginable in India right now, but who knows, very soon it might come to India as well. But the point is, people can go to any extent. To eat animals for our selfish purposes is itself selfishness. We are giving so much of pain to another animal just to satisfy the needs of our tongue and belly. But how much more selfishness is involved for a person to be eating another person from his own species. So this is a sad state of affairs in Kali Yuga. So as Kali Yuga progresses, the trend is going to be, people are going to become more and more selfish. But the process of devotional service, or the process of Krishna Bhakti, is a process of going against the trend of Kali Yuga. And when we go against the trend of Kali Yuga, that is, we try to become selfless, we find that we will start developing all the good qualities, which is mentioned, which Krishna mentions. Kindness, mercy, love, all these good qualities develops. the more we become selfless. Now the thing is, but the irony is, it's like few days ago in Bombay there was rainfall. So it's unexpected to have rainfall during this time of the year, because it's winter or beginning of winter and you cannot expect rainfall right now. So when there is rainfall, people don't take it as normal, it is abnormal. So maybe there is a cyclone. There is a natural feeling. Something is there, otherwise it is not normal to have rainfall during this time of the year. So similarly in Kali Yuga, the trend of selfishness which causes quarrel and hypocrisy is so overwhelming that when a person observes some good qualities exhibited by a devotee, he might become suspicious. The world has become such a place of exploitation, of mutual exploitation, because people are so selfish. So the atmosphere is of mutual exploitation. Each party is trying to exploit the other. So when the atmosphere is surcharged with exploitation and selfishness, even when a person comes in contact with genuine kindness, genuine selflessness, the first reaction might be suspicion many a times. The first reaction could be suspicion. Why is this person so kind to me? That shows a sad state of affairs in Kali Yuga. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. There is a story, I don't know to what extent this story is true, that Jawaharlal Nehru, once he visited a mental asylum. And when he visited this mental asylum, Pagal Khana in Hindi, one of the persons staying there, the residents there, he came up to him. And he asked him, "Who are you?" So Nehru, he said that, "I am the Prime Minister of India." So the person said, "When I first came to this mental asylum, even I used to think that I was the Prime Minister of India. So don't worry, you take the medicines properly and very soon you will become all right." So similarly in Kali Yuga, people everywhere, they are mad with this mental illness of selfishness. The illness of trying to exploit others. So much so that even when we find a healthy person who is genuinely selfless, the initial reaction is suspicion. Now why is this person so kind to me? What could be the reason behind his kindness? Maybe he wants something from me. That is a sad state of affairs in Kali Yuga. Now Krishna, when he comes to this material world, what motivation does he have to come to this material world? The only motivation is pure kindness, to help us gain happiness, to help us, to give us the method by which we can become happy and peaceful. But the problem is, even when Krishna himself comes, because his material world is itself a place of selfishness, people feel that even Krishna has some selfish motivations. So we see in the story of Shyamantaka jewel, even Krishna was suspected. Maybe he stole the Shyamantaka jewel. But factually speaking, we hear the description in the scriptures, Chintamani prakarasadmasu kalpavraksha lakshavrateshu surabhir avipalayantam. The spiritual world, each dust particle is as invaluable as Chintamani. Very, very precious, even the dust particles of the spiritual world are. So even the Shyamantaka jewel of this world is nothing. Why will Krishna bother to steal the Shyamantaka jewel? But we find that even when Krishna comes to this world, first he is suspected of theft. And he was actually accused that you stole the Shyamantaka jewel. This is a sorry state of affairs. Similarly, when the devotees of the Lord, they try to help the people of this world, and when they show genuine kindness, the people of this world, the first reaction is suspicion. So many a times, when people come to the Hare Krishna temple, and when they see the people of the temple, the devotees of the Lord, interacting with them in a very polite way, in a very kind way, in a very positive way, instead of becoming happy, they become suspicious. Why are these people so kind to me? Why are these people so polite to me? These are sorry states of affairs in Kali Yuga. Because impoliteness, selfishness, all these things are so prevalent in the world all around us, that when we see good behavior from someone, we become suspicious. In the world there is so much of distress, so much of misery, that when people see the devotees of the Lord so happy, they feel suspicious. How are these people so happy? So some came up with a movie, Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which was released in the 1960s, which depicted that the devotees used to take drugs. That's how their logic worked. You know, how can people be happy without taking drugs? So even though these people seem to be chanting and dancing and happy simply by doing Krishna Bhakti, that may not be possible. Maybe they are becoming happy by taking some drugs. That's how the movie came up. So this is the problem. To a greater or lesser degree, that when we see genuine kindness, genuine mercy, genuine love, the first reaction is suspicion. Maybe these people want something from me. This is all the more true with people from the rich class. A rich man, if you behave with him very nicely and politely, he will be the person who will be farthest from you. Why? Because he feels that because I got so much of money, that is why this person is behaving very nicely with me. He wants some money from me. So the problem in today's world is, even when Krishna and Krishna's devotees want to give the people of this world the method of truly becoming happy and want to show the people of this world genuine and true kindness, the people are reluctant to accept it with an open heart. Why they close their hearts? Because of the suspicion of maybe something will be taken away from me, which I possess. But the reality is, Krishna has everything. And Krishna's devotees, being the favorite children of Krishna, they have everything. So when Krishna and Krishna devotees have everything, what can they take from us? This from one point of view. And from another point of view, what do we actually possess to give Krishna? Now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is inspiring Arjuna to fight. Many a times people say that Krishna was an expert politician who wanted certain things done from Arjuna. So he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. But if you read the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter itself, Krishna shows the universal form, wherein he shows Arjuna how all the warriors are entering into his mouth in the form of the universal form. They are getting crushed between the teeth of Krishna as a universal form. Krishna showed the future to Arjuna, that actually all these warriors are going to be killed anyways. You simply become an instrument and simply fight on my behalf. Now when Krishna has got so much of power that he actually showed Arjuna the future of how he is going to kill all the warriors, is he expecting some military skills from Arjuna? Is it that Krishna cannot finish off all the armies on his own? He can easily do it. In fact, he already showed that to Arjuna how he can do it. In that case, how can we say that the motivation of Krishna for speaking the Bhagavad Gita was to extract some military art from Arjuna? No. Krishna is a factual doer. He is the source of all power. He has got everything. He is the source of all money. He is the source of all opulences. What can we give Krishna? Or rather, what can Krishna take from us? What do we have worth giving to Krishna? Krishna has everything. So when Krishna speaks something in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja, or else he says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yove bhaktya prayachati. Another place he says, Yat karoshi dashnashi yajyoshi dadasyat. Whatever you do, do it as an offering to me. Whatever you offer, give it to me. Why is he telling this? It is out of kindness. He has everything. It's purely because of kindness that he is telling us to give all these things. Because if we give it, it is for our benefit. But the problem is, we feel that Krishna doesn't have something, so he wants to take away from us. Or Krishna's devotees don't have something, so they want to take something from us. There is a story of Srila Prabhupada, that towards the last days, when Prabhupada, the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, apparently he was very weak and he was on the bed. He couldn't move around, look like that. So one of his disciples, he used to tell him that, please do not leave me. Please do not leave me, be always on my side. Prabhupada used to tell this devotee. So this devotee, he felt that Prabhupada, because he is very old and he is apparently very weak, so maybe, you know, he wants someone on his side, he requires some help. So he felt himself fortunate that I am able to render this service to Prabhupada of being on his side when he requires me the most. I am giving some comfort to Prabhupada. So he felt happy about it. So whenever this devotee used to be not around for some time, Prabhupada used to ask his devotee, where were you? I told you never to leave me. Always be with me. So after a few days, what happened was, this devotee had some urgent engagement, because of which he had to go to a distant place. This was in Vrindavan, so he had to go to a distant place. And so when he returned, Prabhupada again asked him, "So I told you never to leave me. Why did you leave me?" So this devotee explained that I had some important engagement, and that is why Srila Prabhupada, I had to leave you for some time alone. I am sorry for that. So Prabhupada added, he said, "I told you never to leave me, because if you leave me, who will take care of you?" So Prabhupada, it looked like the devotee initially thought that Prabhupada needed him, but Prabhupada made it clear that actually he needed Srila Prabhupada. So factually, Krishna doesn't require us. But if we cooperate with Krishna and act according to his plan, we'll be benefited, like Arjuna. Krishna didn't require Arjuna to kill the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna already demonstrated that he didn't require Arjuna. But if Arjuna becomes ready to become an instrument in the hands of Krishna and act according to Krishna's instruction, cooperate with Krishna, Arjuna will be benefited. Krishna has nothing to gain from the entire exercise. Because factually, Arjuna had no powers. Even the powers which Arjuna had were given by Krishna himself. Even during Krishna's birth, Kamsa was taking Devaki, his sister, on the chariot. And suddenly there was Akashvani. From the sky came the voice which proclaimed that, "Kamsa, the eighth son of your sister is going to be the cause of your death." This was a prophecy. And immediately, as soon as Kamsa heard that prophecy, immediately he took out his sword and was about to kill Devaki. Immediately, Vasudev, he comes into action and he speaks various words trying to stop Kamsa from killing Devaki. Now, if we analyze the situation, now it is already a prophecy that Krishna, the eighth child of Devaki, is going to kill Kamsa. It is going to happen anyways. So Vasudeva could have thought that, well, anyway, who can stop Krishna from coming? So Krishna is anyway going to come and anyway is going to kill Kamsa. So let me remain silent. Even if Vasudeva had remained silent, still Kamsa would be killed by Krishna only, but maybe in a different way. But Vasudeva, he acted in a way which Krishna wanted him to act. And when Vasudeva cooperated with the plan of Krishna, he could become a part of Krishna's leela. And he could experience the happiness and the joy of a connection with Krishna, of being Krishna's father. So similarly, we should understand that Krishna has got a plan in this world. And it is going to happen in this world. We have nothing to contribute to Krishna. Krishna might act in a way as if he requires help from us, but factually speaking, Krishna is self-sufficient. He has everything. He doesn't require any resources. He doesn't require any manpower, money, or our abilities. He doesn't require anything. In fact, everything comes from Krishna. He is the source of all money. He is Lakshmipati. He is the source of all power. Balam balavatam chaham, Krishna says, "I am the strength of the strong." So all strength, all power comes from Krishna himself. So Krishna is the source of everything. He doesn't require anything from anyone. But if we cooperate with Krishna's plans, then we are benefited the most. So it is predicted in the scriptures that in this season of Kali Yuga, we were discussing how, like seasons, with the passage of yugas, societies, the pattern of society changes. In Kali Yuga, the pattern of society is extensive selfishness, extensive quarrel, extensive hypocrisy. So it's already predicted that even in this Kali Yuga, for 10,000 years, which has already started 500 years ago with the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's going to be called the golden era within Kali Yuga, wherein the opposite trend will be observed, wherein many people will be exhibiting saintly qualities, having taken to the devotional service of the Lord. That is being predicted. Now if you see, like in the western countries, many of these places, when there is winter, there is extensive snowfall and it is really freezing. And normally speaking, any person in such a weather should die, freeze to death. But somehow through technology, we are able to manipulate things in such a way that people can live comfortably even in such winter places like Switzerland and other places. Even though it is so cold outside, but still people have devised technologies by which they can live comfortably in their residential places. So similarly, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is like the chief engineer in Kali Yuga, even though the general pattern of society is going to be bad, hypocrisy, quarrel is going to be extensively seen in society, still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has devised a technology by which we can safeguard ourselves against the general trend of society. Even though the general trend of society is extensive misery, that is what we read in the newspapers. Misery here, misery there, suffering here, suffering there. Because that is what is going on in society everywhere. But even though this is a general trend, just like cold, a cool atmosphere is a trend in winter. Similarly, the trend in Kali Yuga is misery and unhappiness. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has devised technology by which we can safeguard ourselves against this general trend of unhappiness and misery. But to become happy in this age of Kali Yuga, to develop good qualities in this age of Kali Yuga, we have to adopt the technology of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So simply by chanting of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra and by becoming devotees of Sri Krishna and by associating with the devotees of Sri Krishna, what will happen is slowly but surely we will develop all the good qualities. We will develop peace of mind, and we will understand the way of becoming happy. Even while living in a society where the general trend is unhappiness, quarrel and hypocrisy. Now how people of these western countries are able to do it basically? That they are able to have, you know, comfortable residential quarters with heating systems. Basically they are tapping, you know, the solar energy which is stored in the form of fuels. That is being utilized to develop electrical energy. And that electrical energy is used to develop heat by which people can live comfortably. They are able to get heat through electrical energy, which comes from fuels and which comes from ultimately the sun. Similarly, Krishna, the Supreme Sun, the source of all good qualities, he has given all the instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. But how to apply the instructions of Bhagavad Gita in Kali Yuga? That specific technology was developed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada distributed that technology all over the world. So we see in ISKCON centers all over the world, these are like those residential quarters in freezing winter. It's a relief to find such a residential quarters, to be inside these residential quarters. There is heat, there is comfort. Similarly, these ISKCON centers all over the world, these places are the places wherein people are learning how to go against the general trend of Kali Yuga, and they are learning the technology of becoming happy even though the general trend is misery and unhappiness. And we have to, it's up to us to wholeheartedly accept this technology which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Prabhuji is sharing that when first Prabhupada got his Western devotees to India, people suspected that they were CIA agents. As I was speaking, this is the first reaction of people of Kali Yuga, suspicion, because it's unusual that people can exhibit such good qualities even though they have so much of material opulence. Thank you very much for this nice contribution. श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय.